The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. John E. Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money, managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you create better financial habits, envision your long-term goals, and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of John E. Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. Joining me are certified financial planners, Cameron Utley and Craig Konstantinovich.
Yes, we got it. Great job.
We were just having a conversation about Craig's last name, so of course I almost botched it, even though I've known you for 10 years.
I was going to say, yeah, it's only been just a little bit of time.
I almost had a brain melt there for a minute. Good to have you guys on the show. The topic today is a little bit out of the box for us, and I'm actually excited to kind of learn more from you on this. I know we have a lot of clients that are veterans and serve in the military. And so there are some perceived differences in the financial planning for retirement for these folks. So we kind of want to break that down. So the topic today is high-level financial planning strategies for veterans. I'm going to kind of shoot you some bullet points and some questions. And we're not any, you know, we're obviously not veteran liaisons. We don't work with the Veterans Administration, but because we have experience dealing with clients who are veterans and the CFP designation educates, you know, on the generalist level to handle these situations, we are able to kind of give some tips and strategies for these folks, right?
Yep.
Okay, so getting into it, understanding veterans' benefits. I mean, that's a really important aspect of...
That's a whole can of worms.
Yeah, we could probably do a couple of shows on this topic. Very fundamentally, you've got a new veteran that's, you know, finished service and is ready to come back into civilian life, maybe has chosen a job as a police officer or a teacher or something. What kinds of things should someone like that do first, right out of serving in the military, to prepare for retirement in the long term?
Well,
and you can kind of be general.
I was going to say, yeah, even before retirement, I mean, just adapting back to normal life, you got to figure out, you know, what it is that you want to do. If you didn't take advantage of your GI Bill or your opportunities while you were serving, you may need to go back to school for education. So in order to get your retirement plan on track, you may need to actually take a step back, go to school, figure out what you want to do, jump into then that career and understand what other tools or what other benefits may be available for you at that point. But yeah, I mean, depending on kind of how everything is structured, I mean, first things first, when you get out, you need to figure out, is there going to be any income that you're going to be receiving? Do you start to receive a VA benefit because maybe you may have been injured in the line of duty? Maybe something came up and you had some kind of disabling event and now you're getting VA disability benefits. We'll touch on that a little bit further here in a bit. But if you are eligible for that and you have the GI Bill, now you've really got a leg up to be creating, in most instances, a fairly good, strong financial foothold to kind of get things started. And then you need to just decide where your career is going to take you. I mean, there are several veterans that I've met at NAPFA conferences or that I've come across that are financial planners. And they strictly do focus on niche planning with veterans because there are so many hoops to jump through, and experience is the best teacher for everything. And so they know that that is oftentimes a very underserviced group. And so they're trying to make sure that, hey, let me make sure I can put you in the right position or understand this. And while we may not be niche planners in that specific area, we still work with enough people that thankfully served and helped us to enjoy what we have today. But that they've come with, you know, eyes wide open, and now they're really trying to look for, well, what does life have beyond the military for me?
And I think if you can give people a visual where, you know, what are the foundational aspects of a plan for a veteran? Is it the same as a civilian person? You know, the managing cash flow, kind of the things that we do every day. So we can give people a bullet point list of things that should be on the radar as they're coming into civilian life.
Yeah. I mean, Cameron, I haven't changed my approach at all. Have you?
No, it's very similar to someone who may be transitioning from a job in the government to a job in the private sector, right? There's certain benefits that are exclusive to one occupation, not the other. So just understanding just as much, hopefully, before you leave the service, understanding maybe what that next phase of life is, where that phase of life might be, understanding what still may be available, you know, going on the VA website, mm-hmm. looking at not just the resources on there, but if...
Do you mean benefits, as far as benefits are concerned?
Yep, as far as benefits, and then if there are any events or any contacts at your local VA location near you, see what might be available, and there might be some educational workshops, you know, on a monthly or weekly basis.
There seems to me, the every person, that veterans have probably need to, let me rephrase this, insurance needs are probably really critical to someone coming out of serving. Is that a realistic observation to make, that should be something that is really a priority?
It's important. TRICARE is one of the better insurance systems that's out there. A lot of times it extends to veterans well beyond their service years. And just because of what that benefit looks like, how it functions, everything else, again, not an expert, not a 100% in-depth understander of the ins and outs of the program, but every time we compare it, every time we do talk to the experts, everyone's come back and said, you know, yeah, TRICARE is not even going to touch what this private sector's health insurance plan offers or what this public sector's health plan offers.
So then they have to hit the pavement like we would have to do and vet insurance companies to see.
Absolutely.
You know, but are their needs different? I mean, I would think.
I mean, it can be.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, like I said, you know, depending on what happened during your time of service. I mean, my brother went and he served in the Marines and, you know, he came back and he had instances of vertigo, of his ears ringing and things like that. So he had to, you know, make sure that he met all the qualifications, that he saw the right doctors, that he had everything approved, and then was able to actually go out and get some disability benefits and make sure that TRICARE and his health insurance was going to be able to basically allow him to get some occupational therapy to get him back on track. So there may be, it just depends on what you experienced during your time and depending on what may or may not have happened. I mean, again, there's differences with combat pay versus regular pay. There's differences if, God forbid, you were a prisoner of war. There's a lot of wartime or serving situations that aren't every man's situations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because of the uniqueness and because of the intricacies that are there, you also need to figure out, okay, well, how does this kind of impact what else may be coming in my life?
So first step is to connect with the Veterans Administration, do your research,
absolutely.
See what resources are out there, what opportunities are there for you to take advantage of benefits through the VA.
Mm-hmm.
Keep great records. You know, that's kind of an every person MO, right? We all have to keep very good records when we're dealing with health insurance or disability claims or anything like that, right? And then seek the professional certified financial planner, which can help navigate the relationships with the specialists, which I think is really important.
We talk about with our clients and here in the back office that, you know, every financial plan has to have a financial planning team. And that's not just the financial planner. You have your attorneys, your accountants, and I would put your VA liaison, as you said earlier, Tracy, into that same boat because we need to be able to coordinate, you know, and make sense of what's available and how that fits into the rest of the overall plan.
Mm-hmm. So I gathered some bullet points that some of them we can go into a little more detail, but again, we're not veteran liaisons, so we would defer to the VA for some of these things. But
I'm going to start putting a quarter in the jar every time you say VA liaison now.
Well, between you and Spencer, I have to give the disclosures because, you know, we don't people think that we're complete experts on everything, even though you guys know an awful lot about a lot of things.
Enough to be dangerous.
Right. So maximizing VA benefits. Is there, if you had a client sitting in front of you, is there anything you would tell them to get them started in, as far as, you know, healthcare, disability, compensation, educational assistance, other than starting with the VAs or anything else that they could do or any other resource that they could use for that reason.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you, Cameron.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that a bit of a loaded question. In my mind, the first thing I go to is if you're going to a second career occupation, and maybe you've got a job offer extended to you, the first step I would look into is if you know the benefits offered through the VA,
mm-hmm.
even though in a lot of cases the VA benefits may be, you know, they're really good and they get a good reputation for a reason, but there are select employers that do offer very competitive healthcare benefits, you know, other insurance benefits, educational benefits that you may have to choose. You know, you can only have one health insurance plan, right? So you might have to choose between the two. It's worthwhile. May not be the most fun weekend reading to go through and read all the fine print.
Yeah.
But again, the important thing is making sure that your network of doctors are covered, that you're getting a fair and reasonable premium for the right amount of coverage that you're looking to get, if that's life insurance or disability insurance. So that's probably where I would start, is just comparing the benefits you're going to with what is currently available.
And there are a lot of benefits on the utilitarian side of things. So there's a GI Bill that can help mm-hmm. with education, mm-hmm. right? So can we speak a little bit to that?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, so there's always changes that are happening here, and that's where, you know, we may talk about things today, and a year from now, what we talk about may be obsolete, may no longer be relevant. The GI Bill is one, for instance, that has gone through some changes. Before, could be used for the service member and their family. Now they've changed it, and unless you meet different criteria, it's usually either or. So there are things like that you definitely do need to pay attention to, but the GI Bill helping out with education expenses, yeah, if you go in, meet all the right criteria, fill out all the necessary paperwork, those kind of things, you know, you can oftentimes get not only tuition, but possibly a housing stipend that's included in that as well. So now that may make your transition to education life a little bit easier. So really understand kind of what the ins and outs of that are. And then, again, if you do have other means or if there are other things that are out there, maybe you can utilize what you don't spend on college tuition or taking out student loans or anything like that. Maybe you can then transition and now you've got more cash flow that's able to help you out afterwards, where if education is important to you and you want to provide for other family members, maybe you start utilizing something like a 529 plan or another savings vehicle. That way it's not just you got the benefit. No, you're passing off what would have been student loan payments. You didn't have to take them out. Now you can actually give that back to someone else.
Okay, let's transition to housing.
Mm-hmm.
I know of a VA loan. My parents took out a VA loan on the first house they ever built. They paid $12,000 to have it built back in 1950. There's a reality check.
Oh, yeah. Especially
so,
now.
So how does one go about assessing whether or not a VA loan is best for their situation or alternative loans for housing?
Yeah, I would start with the thing that stands out to me most is the temptation to go and get something bigger, maybe more house than you need, because they say, oh, you don't have to put, you know, the benefit is you can put 0% down on a VA loan, which doesn't mean you qualify for more house. It just means that you don't have to bring as much cash to the table when you close.
Mm-hmm.
That often leads, I think, to a lot of temptation to maybe go get more house than is really needed.
Does the marketing lean that direction? I've never seen it, but does the marketing kind of tempt?
I wouldn't say that. Mm. I wouldn't suggest that by any stretch. Mm-hmm. They present it as an option if you're eligible for mm-hmm. it, yeah. But no, it doesn't
probably
no
more than anybody yeah. else. Yeah,
yeah. Gotcha. I mean, right now that's the biggest battle that we face with any person, whether you're a veteran or not, is going out and buying more house than you can afford. So, yeah, to Cameron's point, the temptation may be greater because there's no cash that comes out of pocket, but as you're figuring out, Cameron, it's not just the down payment. It's everything else that goes along with the house, right?
Yeah. It's, at the bare minimum, it's a, you know, feels like a lifelong commitment, but mm-hmm. It's not a, you know, 1 year deal.
Yep.
For most people, it's a, you know, 10, 15, 30 year commitment to just making the principal and interest payments and the tax mm-hmm. payments. There's also the cost of ownership, and that varies depending on where you live. If even the insurance side of it depends mm-hmm. on where you live. If you were maybe stationed in Virginia or out west, you're going to have a lot of different insurance considerations than if you live full-time in Georgia or Florida, where there may be more different extreme weather. And we've seen, of course, seen a lot of insurance premiums skyrocket and all kinds of chaos accruing down south. So I would start with, you know, figuring out, you know, where, you know, or what, I guess what lifestyle is going to look like, where, you know, what size, what makes sense for the family, right? And then knowing that it's not just going to be the monthly payment, it's going to be the home, the cost of the ownership. You got to fix the leaky pipe and the basement, you know, be ready, have a cash reserve in place for the basement that might flood. Or
we don't like to give numbers, but I am curious about that. So can we just kind of just give a hypothetical, you know, value of a house versus how much you should have saved for the maintenance on the house? Kind of a list for people.
There's a couple of different rules of thumb. I know one rule of thumb is like the total cost of the house that includes your mortgage payment is you should be, I'm going to use the big bad B word, you should be budgeting or carving out in your mind maybe about 1% of the house value per month.
For just what?
For just for the total cost of the home. So mortgage payment, insurance, taxes, and the, you know, home maintenance.
Everything. Okay.
Everything.
Wow.
Now, the one thing to also keep in mind, too, is, again, depending on what level of service you offer, other things, you may actually get an abatement on your property taxes as well. So there can be that benefit, and that varies state by state as far as what they may help out with, what they wouldn't. It may be transferable. It may not be to your spouse. So, again, this is where you need to do all of the digging, Cameron, like you said. Do all of your due diligence, because it's not just necessarily, hey, put 0% down or something like that. There may be other benefits that are there. So, but yeah, you're spot on. Having 1% of the home's fair market value per month, probably 6 months at bare bones minimum, is usually a good place to start. I know we always say put 20% down, knowing that you aren't going to be paying PMI, knowing that you aren't going to be putting money down. It's always good to still have some cash available to put on the house, but you probably don't need to follow the conventional wisdom. We would still recommend that you do, but you don't necessarily have to at that point.
So part of the potential concerns for a veteran would be to make sure that they have cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not much different than what we would tell somebody else. So you get to know what your living expenses are, create some positive cash flow for life, especially for housing, right? Separate pots for those things. What about health care coverage? Are there potential concerns for veterans, how they evaluate health care coverage
that we didn't cover
earlier?
I was going to say, I think we've touched on all that. I mean, again, TRICARE is pretty robust, but there's other options or other things that may come up. So you should definitely talk. Well, yeah, and Medicare may come into play as well, depending on how long you served and where you're at. But yeah, I would definitely talk to a VA representative to get all the ins and outs of it. If you've got very specific questions or health concerns, yeah, pose them to that person. They may not have an answer, and if they need to sputter a little bit and say, we'll get back to you, that's fine. But ask the questions that you have in mind, because otherwise the answer is no.
How often should somebody sort of scrub their health care insurance policy in that situation? Annually?
How often do your health needs change, Tracy?
Well, you know, I'm being hypothetical here.
I'm being snarky.
My health care needs are, we won't even go there. Mine change from week to week,
Well, then maybe week to week you're scrubbing coverage. But
I can stay on my feet long enough.
In all seriousness, at least
but
once.
Through the end of retirement.
I mean, at least once a year, bare bones minimum.
Yeah. Healthcare changes or health changes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like me and you fall down the stairs at least once in your life, you know, those,
thank goodness our office doesn't have stairs.
Change things. Okay. Disability compensation. I think we kind of touched on that earlier, but verifying eligibility. Is there anything on the radar besides touching the VA for that?
You know, one thing you might be struggling to, or you want to be aware of is, you know, if you have a new employer that's not with the government or not with the military, you may have some availability to file for or enroll in their disability, group disability coverage. I would just, again, when you're doing that, just check the fine print. Sometimes there's certain, the word's escaping me, some exclusions, pre-existing conditions that might exclude you forever filing if it's for something. You know, what you could name anything really, So I would just, you know, it might be available and you might be eligible to enroll in it. You make sure you can actually qualify for it if you do have a disability concern presently prior to enrolling. That's usually a kind of a gotcha at some point is, you know, you get to say, you know, if some disability from being in the service, you get a disability policy through your new job, you go to file, it doesn't actually pan out the way you really thought it would. And that's could be a bit of a burden, especially if you don't have things like a cash reserve or a backup plan in place.
Yeah. Yeah. And just understand that disability insurance policies may not be built equally. Right now, at least, a lot of disability benefits paid out by the VA are tax-free for a lot of employer-provided policies or personal policies that you may or may not be eligible for. There may be some of those benefits that are taxable. So, like Cameron said, just understand what you may or may not be able to secure. If you can get a personal policy, understand that there may be exclusions, so that way you're not essentially double-dipping in the insurance world's mind. But, yeah, just really understand that there are different caveats and different nuances, and if something else comes up or if another event happens, that you're not going to be left in the cold.
So for somebody who's approaching retirement and it's time to apply for Social Security, is there anything on the radar for a veteran that's different than the rest of us for applying for Social Security?
So if you're already eligible or if you're receiving a VA pension benefit, there may be some offset. So you may not get the full Social Security benefit. It may depend on how long that you've been working for that particular business, how many credits you've accumulated, what the time split is between your time in service versus your time working in the private sector. So there could be those nuances. Normally there's not, but you always want to leave an asterisk and leave a little wiggle room when talking about Social Security because, again, everything changes.
Yeah, I would keep good records of, you know, to your point earlier, Tracy, keeping good records. You can log on those, you know, just to know what Social Security benefit you might be eligible for. Go into ssa.gov and sign into an online account. Even better, you can schedule an appointment with Social Security and take your military pension paperwork with you in, and they can crunch the numbers for you and really give you an accurate, here, if you file at this age, here's what your benefit's going to be. And they're pretty good at getting it close to what reality is.
So some of the things that we talk about daily are Social Security planning, buying a new home, cash flow, debt management. Mm-hmm. But we also talk about estate planning, which mm-hmm. is really critical. How do you approach an estate planning conversation with a new client that's in the service? Or
get
coming
it
out
done.
Of service?
Should have been done yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. No, in all seriousness, yeah, the estate plan, again, as soon as you sign up for basic training, they're usually pretty persistent on at least getting a power of attorney and a power of attorney for healthcare set up. But to talk with a JAG on base or to talk with someone that is an estate expert,
A JAG? What's a JAG?
A JAG.
The cat.
I forget the exact acronym here, but essentially it's someone in the service that assists with estate planning or legal matters.
Look at Craig throwing around military terms.
I've worked with one or two to know the lingo, but yeah, usually JAGs will be on base. So again, it's a, something attorney general. Like
Judge Advocate General.
There you go. Judge Advocate
Thanks,
General.
Producer.
Thank you.
Thank you, producer.
Gosh, gotta love
producer
big producers.
Michael.
But basically they're on base attorneys that can help you draft your estate plan, draft your certain needs. And again, depending on what life may have thrown at you or what your experiences may be, I mean, you may have married someone from a separate country. Now all of a sudden there could be citizenship. There may be certain exclusions that fall into the estate plan. There may be other considerations other than just, you know, traditional, hey, maybe I'm working with my second or third spouse at this point. Maybe we've got a blended family. Now you may have what they call a multinational estate plan that you need to start taking different considerations into. So definitely work with someone on base because they're going to at least have more knowledge than your average estate attorney about what the nuances may be.
Okay. Talking about investing and basically retirement through income diversification. So how does somebody balance or develop a diversified income strategy that includes maybe a pension from a civilian job, you know, Social Security, their investments, benefits, any of those things? Is there a magic template for that, or is that something that is just literally combing through the details, laying it all out? This is what you guys do every day.
I don't want to play an old tune, but I feel like I've been saying it all day. Start with what's in front of you, what's available. If you're going to a job post-service and it's a pension, that's all they have, well, there are other things on top of that, you know, an IRA, Roth IRA, brokerage account, and, you know, but for, you know, you don't have, might not have a 401k or, you know, more traditional style retirement plan. I would start with what's available and understand what those accounts, how they function. A lot of people be surprised they have 401ks. They don't realize they can change the investment options in those, or they can, some people don't realize that a lot of 401ks aren't just pre-tax contributions. You can do Roth and after-tax contributions, and those each have different consequences, good and, you know, I guess they're all good, but they're treated differently. So just educate yourself, read the fun, probably 50 to 100 page summary plan description on those, and pension plan summary to understand, you know, how your pension benefits calculated. That's on the military side and maybe in the private sector pensions as well. Because every pension's a little different, that, and specifically in that space.
Or call a financial planner.
Or we're very happy to read those for you. We read plenty of those with a nice cup of coffee in the morning. Right?
Yeah, but no, in all seriousness, I mean, again, with the pension benefit, to Cameron's point, you know, if you are going to be eligible for the VA pension, you've already got a taxable, more than likely, again, there may be some tax-free options, but you've already got a taxable stream of income, so to create a brokerage account or a taxable account to save money in, to create more of a Roth bucket for you to accumulate money now, have it grow tax-free, and then have it paid out in the future tax-free, that's probably going to be more important and probably going to be something that you're going to need to lean on more than making a pre-tax contribution.
And we work with the CPAs, but we're not CPAs, but asking you this anyway. Are there any deductions that come to mind or things that should be on the radar to ask your CPA about taxes?
We are not at liberty to discuss tax matters in this format.
No.
I'll say the only thing is, maybe Craig mentioned earlier, there are some benefits that you can get as a veteran, maybe disability coverage, the tax abatement on property taxes. There are a list of considerations that I'm no expert in to say how you qualify for those or not. But those are great things to bring up to your accountant. If you are receiving those, you may still receive a end of year statement for those. And if, you know, you're doing taxes yourself or an accountant might get a hold of that, they may, you know, interpret it the wrong way unless you're sharing with them what's actually happening.
Yep. Yeah, and depending on your line of work too, I mean, there may be an opportunity for you to start a business. There may be some more charitable causes that you can get involved in, those kind of things. So 100% incorporate a CPA to make sure that you're getting all the advice that you need and making sure that you have a good financial team around you, because you're going to have a lot of opportunities and you're going to have a lot of other considerations that the average Joe may not.
There's one final chapter, so, and I've actually had experience with this. So when someone is in retirement and perhaps needing assisted living or long-term care, has long-term care needs, they can take advantage of veterans' benefits, not in tandem with Medicaid, but they have to file for those benefits. I actually experienced this with my dad. If you are a caregiver, I learned this later, if you're a caregiver for a veteran, you can receive a pension or a monthly stipend to caregive for that veteran. I'm not sure if that includes everybody other than parents. It might just be for parents. I'm not sure. So check into that. But I actually filed for Medicaid for him, filed for VA benefits, and it took so long to get them. We had to file for Medicaid as well. They both came in at the same time, so we had to dump one of them. So do your research. Make sure you understand. This was, you know, foreign territory to me. No clue what I was doing at that point. Seek the help of the Veterans Administration. Seek the help of the professional, the certified financial planner, the generalist, the coach that can work with the specialist to help you in these moments so that you are cared for properly and, you know, you've worked hard and deserve those benefits. So you want to make sure that you're accessing those. This has been really informative. I appreciate you guys, your patience with me with my questions, and hope that the followers learned a thing or two. If you have any questions for us, you want to take advantage of a complimentary consultation, feel free to call our office. We'd love to talk to you more. We are Managing to Be Wealthy.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast. We help you make the most of your money without any hidden fees or commissions. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself and your financial future. Keep listening for more expert advice and tips. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. To schedule a 1-hour complimentary consultation to discuss your financial concerns, visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com.